It's completely different.
DJ Clue, aka William M. Holler.
I thought you was over here about to drop bomb.
Niggas don't know. Come
on. Dynasty. New JD. Come on. Beanie Sigel. Stick to the script.
Live money over bitches, niggas stick to the script. Cop, flip, we re up, get back to the shit. Money over bitches, niggas stick to the script.
Yo,
they call me William H. The all time great. I fucked the most hoes.
Remember this, huh, Craig?
Ha ha!
He was outside? He was outside when this came out, Craig?
Shout out to Clue.
Got this big ass tool when I'm skating through the city and I stop and kick it.
Be the most asked question.
How I got them digits? I say I stay on my grind, never stop for bitches.
Huh?
Never talk like a mom. I gotta watch the bitches. And I stick to the script. This is my advice from Lady.
All time element.
You said that.
I said that. I'm asking you.
No. Yeah, who's better?
Jeezy?
Nah, throw Jim Jones in there.
You said greatest of all time.
A lot of people sleep on Jim.
DJ Clue? No, DJ Clue is short. I ain't gonna lie. All the Clue tapes.
That's what you said.
All the fantastic. The fan, no, he's fan. He, but as an ad libber, no. Like all the fantastic fours, I fuck with all of them.
So who would you say is the best ad libber?
Come on, money over. I'm biased as fuck.
Look at how many songs.
That's all I need to hear.
Yo, nah. Fuck it. It's definitely Jim Jones.
Nah.
Future?
Be wild. No, he's not a great one.
Honestly,
he's wildin'. The greatest ad libber.
Jeezy.
Jeezy for that time.
Same with Jim Jones.
But the shit Jim was be saying is
hilarious.
You'd be like, some shit from the corner store.
You were cool.
It's like, yo, he really saying something.
But that was still after Jeezy.
Friends depend on friends.
He amped it up.
I don't need you, let welfare feed you.
That's not LA.
No, I'm just saying beans, nigga.
I got a sick wind gang. Water sticks
in the bricks. I got a sick. Bro, X wasn't outside when he dropped. I got a strict
flip cane, get it in shifts. X
wasn't outside when this dropped.
X was Ray J.
So you saying Ray J ain't a GOAT either?
Yo, no.
Yo!
Why you guys?
Hold on, I gotta pause this. Hey. Hey, X.
Why you were like,
yo, we right, we hopping right in here. Hold on, nah. Hold up. Xavier Jones. So,
yo,
we had this little discussion. I said, listen. I said, if Bow Wow went against The Weeknd in a versus battle, Bow Wow was smoking The Weeknd.
Oh, Jesus.
But real, come on. What? No. No.
Nah.
You sleep.
Nah.
You sleep.
X, you know.
You sleep. You pillow talk with wifey too much. That's why you see him saying that.
Why would Bow Wow be pinned against The Weeknd?
Welcome to
Sam. Because I picked it. I picked the matchup. Yeah.
They both going to pull up to the ring like, oh, right. Okay. Like, the
it's
fuck?
Okay. It's just like them bubble playoffs.
They're going to be like, oh, okay.
Just like right. The bubble playoffs. Like, okay.
Yeah,
but anyways.
Let's get to it.
Willie's still thinking about Bow Wow.
He is, right?
I am. I'm hot.
See his face, right?
Hey, Ray J birthed a lot of rappers.
Like
go.
Who? Bow Wow?
Here you go. Here you go with the Ray J. Nah, Ray J got... Nah.
Ray J got what?
Ray J got one or two songs.
Like what?
One Wish. Come on now. One Wish. And what's that then? All I Need? Is that Ray J? The shit.
What's the song with Pharrell and Lil Kim?
Oh,
Wait a minute.
That's it.
That's it.
Nah, Ray J a legend, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
It is, bro. He gave Breakfast Club their first breakthrough interview. Don't play him.
He gave somebody their breakthrough career.
Can we get to the...
Kim K? Come on, birthed.
That's what I said. He gave somebody their breakthrough career.
Yeah, it's a fact. All right, we gotta stop playing. What's up, X? What's good, man? How's Vietnam treating you?
Ain't too bad, man.
We all over the place. We probably gonna have this start over again too. Yeah, y'all ain't even seeing. Good. Y'all can't even see this. He got us going crazy.
But we
gotta
start it right though. He's in Vietnam. We are. So we gotta ask him why is he in Vietnam?
Yeah, we good. We good. We starting off. We kicking it off right now. Let's get it. It's right, gonna be a little weird. It's gonna be a little weird. So you're just gonna see me and you right now. But we're gonna edit this right now. So it's good.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes, sir. So we got Francis. We got Craig. We got me in the room. All right. Hello. We about to kick this off right now.
What up? Shout out to Sample. Let's get it.
Let's get it. What's good, y'all? Sample Podcast back in the building.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
What's cracking? Francis, same what's shit, good? What you been shit. Up to?
Regular shit. Same shit as last time.
Same shit.
Real talk, though. Just keeping busy. You know how that go.
Yeah, keeping busy. Yeah. What's up, though? What's good? What's good in the life? How's kids treating you?
Good. You know what I'm saying? I can't complain. Thankful for the situation, for what it's been for this year. Because I know other people personally that haven't been as fortunate, so I'm definitely grateful. Work has definitely been busy. We've been keeping busy doing what we've been doing. If you haven't seen it, I don't know how you haven't seen it.
Because you know I'm not on the gram. You know I'm not on social media. So. Yeah,
all right.
I'm not. Go ahead. I'm what? Nah, I'm not on nothing.
All right, I guess social media break. You doing a little cleanse?
Yeah, man.
Nah, it's necessary. I'm not even joking. Real talk. Yeah. You need to do that. You gotta do that.
I grew up.
I heard you're vegan now.
I grew up.
That's all. Vegan now. There's nothing wrong being vegan.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong.
It's great.
You said that like you miss burgers or something. Like, go
possible.
Nah, I definitely had a couple burgers. I had a burger earlier today. I ain't gonna hold you. Good, Craig. What you been up to, man?
Hey, come on. Don't start.
Don't start, man. Every time we talk, it's always busy. Hey,
same shit.
One thing y'all gotta learn, man, y'all gonna get comfortable with us. Every time, Craig always act like he busy. I know he busy, but he ain't busy. Or is he busy?
Oh, shit. I'm busy.
What you saying? What that, what you
we
meant?
Gotta hear. What's cooking for Champion right now, low key? Is there anything you could spill?
Nah, I can't.
You can't spill. You got some.
Yeah, I like that.
Nope.
I like that.
Nope.
Is there some upcoming collaborations coming into work? Some footwear, anything?
Yeah, we do. Nope. We're trying to get Chase.
Uh-oh.
We're trying to get Chase.
Ooh, that's going to be a good look.
Yeah, hopefully we can get him.
Mm-hmm.
We work together at Reebok, so hopefully we can get him.
You know what's crazy, yeah.
Craig? What's that?
Man.
That's a good name. That's a good handle. Crazy Craig.
Right? That did flow.
You know what's crazy? We need a little sample. We need a sample of Champion, some collab with some hoodies.
I got you guys. Champion sponsor. Let's do
Come
this.
Come on, man.
Yeah,
that's what I'm working on.
It's popping.
Nah, hold on. But you're not about to just like.
With me? I can't slide. You know what I'm saying? I just try to tap in with y'all, see how y'all doing.
All right, so let's tap in with you.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, ain't nothing really.
Because what I heard was.
Oh, boy.
Because what I heard.
I feel like I heard the same thing. But
you're trying to take my job.
I'm trying to take your job.
Yeah, I heard you were studying, what you said sneaker design?
A little bit. You know what I'm saying? A little bit,
that's
bro. I'm all over the place,
X, you
bro.
Hear that?
Talking about a little bit.
X, you,
yeah, I hear.
You hear him?
Yeah, yep. Man.
You know what he's doing, though, right?
I'm just curious. That's all. I just hear y'all talking the lingo here and there, talking about y'all busy. Okay.
And he just
that ain't curiosity,
see.
Though.
We gonna see.
It's more than that.
You know, but,
end up out of school.
You know that.
Right.
You know, doing
right.
A little.
Just falling in school. Right. Just falling class. Right. Just falling in class.
Yeah. But no, man, we got Xavier Jones in the building, man. Xavier Jones, and if you guys do not know, Xavier Jones, you know, one of the lead designers over at Reebok right now.
Hey.
And not only that, you know, he's also worked with Craig, on you know, in his past venture with Reebok. But not only working with him, you know what I'm saying. Xavier got one of the most interesting stories as like one of the most grinding dudes I ever met. You know what I'm saying? Especially from his start, where he started from, how he even got into designing. And looking at his career trajectory, it's kind of crazy. And,
let's get into it.
I was actually able to witness that firsthand because, you know, me and X went to school together. You know what I'm saying? So, and not only that we went to school together, you know, it was kind of weird from the start because he was actually started out as the equipment manager. For the team.
Which team?
Eastern Michigan. So I went to Eastern Michigan University.
What sport though?
Football. I play football. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta explain it.
Yeah. I got you. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Every sport got different equipment.
You know what I'm saying? So you know, X.
It could be the hockey team.
No, but it's like it's crazy because
still soccer.
It's crazy because when you hear about, I'm not trying to equate this to this, but like when you hear about them crazy stories about some of these CEOs when they started out from the bottom. And then went to the top. Like Xavier was the dude who was handing out the cleats and the gloves and all this stuff. But you know what was funny is because day one, ever since I met Xavier, it was always authentic. And if you play football and even at Division I level, like which, you know, we was at, it was like no matter what school, niggas is stingy with equipment, bro. Francis, you know this. Niggas is stingy with the socks, the gloves, the shoes, cleats, etc. But
the smallest one on the team, they still won't let you get the size that fits you. They want you to. That's the worst. Cause
right.
You could be tall. Like me, for example, I'm tall, but I'm skinny. So like, I need like a small or a medium. But I'm tall, so it's like the point guard short might be short. And she's like, nah, I need the small. But I'm like, I'm skinny. I need the small.
And they play
small.
The favorites, right? They play the favorites.
Yo, if not, or even if you just show up late, it's over for you.
That's crazy. Because I was probably that favorite, so I was getting everything anyway. But, hey. But you know what's crazy? At Xavier and the homie Jay, Xavier used to plug me with everything I needed, bro. Everything.
Who's Jay?
Jay was another. He was actually, what was Jay's position, Xavier?
He was the head equipment manager for like basically all sports for the whole Eastern Michigan University, but he kind of like favored football, so he pretty much stayed over there most of the time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, man. He was a plug, but Xavier used to be that plug, man. When you working as an equipment manager and people who play sports in college, we all know like niggas is stingy. X used to plug me. He used to. I'm telling you, like X used to give me like the retro like 2002 women's basketball uniform shorts.
Oh wait, you crossing like sports? Okay,
yeah.
Now we.
Oh
okay,
yeah.
Nah,
the better
up.
Question is, why did you need the women's 2002?
Like, see, you the person I'm talking about. Like you the guy. Like, that's why I can't get the size small.
I was OD.
Cause you were supposed to be in football.
We over question the women's size. The
but the crazy thing is, cause the colorway. You know me. Like I'm a. You know I like fashion a little bit. I see something to catch my eye. Like ooh.
But again,
nobody got that.
Again, nah. What are you doing with this?
What I'm doing, I'm rocking them. I'm sitting here wearing basketball, you know
campus,
what I'm saying?
On campus.
I'm wearing the KD4s with them, you know, the all pearls.
Welcome to Sample. Give me, let's get to
yeah, let's get to it, right? Yeah, but anyways, back to it. Like, I originally met Xavier, you know, in school, and we built our relationship from there. You know, working together, busting his ass on the hoop court one-on-one. You know, religiously.
chill.
Don't chill. And you know what's funny? Don't let Xavier fool you too, though. Like Xavier is one of them dudes who's like, you look at him, he'd be like, oh, okay, I can get this dude. He a little thick. He one of them thick, nice dudes who give you buckets, but he wasn't getting buckets on me. But he always had to pick him on my team, though. When we had to run the fives. But you know, even seeing Xavier's trajectory from, you know, where he started and hustling, like right out the gate, he was hustling. He started as equipment manager, didn't have no design experience. You know what I'm saying? He was in school studying design. And what he did was he hustled his way like, hey, can I get on a couple projects? Can I design this? Can I design that? You know, giving us designing stuff for the football team, working on stuff for the women's basketball team, you know, men's team, etc. You know, and then it got to the point where like we ended up leaving school and we ended up, you know, maintaining our relationship. Next thing you know, I ended up finding out, oh, X, what you up to? Man, I'm just over at the Sacramento Kings interning, your creative services intern. Oh, okay, bet. You know, a couple months later, hey, bro, what's good? Man, bro, I just got over at New Balance. Oh, all right. Fam, couple months later, what you good? What's good, bro? You know, a little quick stint, Atlanta Falcons. What? My man is moving, making moves. And then next thing you know is like, I hear that he's over at Reebok, and now he ended up being a shoe designer there, and then that's end up, you know, where he met you, Craig. You could probably speak to that. But we have Xavier Jones with us right now. And just to give you a little insight with Xavier Jones, my man has worked with Allen Iverson, Shaq,
talk about it.
Swiss Beats, Brandon Jennings, Sean Kemp, DeMarcus Cousins, Montrezl Harrell, Ty Young, Baron Davis. That's just the athletes.
Elite at athletes. I'm not like basketball. If you know basketball, those names aren't just, and they might not even be like, this is the thing with these people. Like, they're not like, they might not be like the championship ring owners or like whatever the case may be, but these are players that you know what I'm saying? So the credibility stands not only with the design itself, but also with the name attached. For example, Allen Iverson, Shaq, those two alone.
Legendary.
Stop it. And then you go into like, you cross over to a player like Ty Young. That's a whole different league. So that's a whole nother vision. So just being able to cross borders that way, that's versatility.
Let's get into it, man.
Talk about it.
Yeah, man. And you know what's funny is, like, not only that I know Xavier on that level starting out, but what impresses me the most with his story is where he came from. My man's came from.
Know what? Ask him.
I'm talking too much.
I've heard anything from X yet.
X. I'm just trying to be.
X,
so what we do is here. We, and not only this, we got to tear this out right out the gate. Xavier Jones is the executive producer of this podcast. Like, without Xavier, there wouldn't be no sample. Mm-hmm. Like, Xavier is one of the few dudes who's like, he ended up collaborating with me on this to end up creating this in general. So, like, with that out the gate, like, my admiration, my friendship, everything, like, you know, I appreciate you. Right out the gate. And we're going to get that out the way right now.
More reason to,
you know what I'm saying? We got to big you up. And the funny thing is, we always bigging up everybody that we speaking to. But where you from?
I'm from Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, born and raised.
Shout out to Flint.
Yep, yes, sir.
Flint, Michigan. Yeah. Man, how was that growing up for you in Flint, Michigan?
Honestly, great, man. I can't complain. I guess you only know what you know, so. I mean, I didn't really realize, you know, things were, you know, different, or, you know, areas were different than even around Michigan until I got older and started experiencing things more. Even going to Eastern Michigan was like shit moving across the world for me, just getting outside of the city and off my side of town. So it was good, man. Sure, you have things that happen, but overall, man, grew up with a lot of love, man, family always around. So just, you know. Love my city.
Yeah.
Things like that. So it was good.
Yeah.
It was good during the murder capital time when we was everything was kind of popping off.
And you say that laughing like gingerly, like that's light. Like, you gotta understand, like, and we wanna paint this picture for all these young kids out there and even people who is listening. Like, a lot of these shooters, and Craig can speak to this too. Like, you guys worked with people within the industry, you know, who come from certain backgrounds.
Sure, but then also, certain backgrounds.
But also being privileged and also being, you know, being handed into a position where it's just like you necessarily didn't really work hard for it. But then also it's just like you just end up getting to a position because you know somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you grinded it out and got to the position where you were based on your ambition and knowing what you wanted to do. Like, could you speak on that?
Actually, let's speak on why. Why did you want to become a footwear designer?
Why?
What motivated you? Well,
yeah, I think it was early on, my cousins, right? So they're like 8 to 10 years older than me. So they was in high school when I was like coming up. So seeing them dudes, like what they were wearing to school, or like if they were getting the Vince Carters for basketball, or if they was just, you know, wearing something on the block, like some Jordans or something, I was like, yo, this is crazy. So me trying to fit in with them, to with older kids and their friends, just seeing things differently through the lens of a kid. So me being somewhat artistic, you know, drawing and whatnot, I was like, well, how about I draw some throwback jerseys, or how about I draw my own sneakers? And it just kind of snowballed into this thing that like became a fascination for me. Like, you can create product even not really realizing what I was doing. So over the years, it just kept progressing and progressing. And then taking fourth grade, I did the summer camp with the Flint Urban League, and we had a project to draw a sneaker, and I was like, what? Like, hold on, like, this is like a real thing. And I had just got the Jerry Stackhouse alternate Piston jersey, so I was like, I'm gonna draw some Jordans to match it. Fire.
And when you say alternate, you're talking about the green colorway, right? That teal?
No, the red one.
The red one.
This was after, when they had got the alternates in like 99. I don't know what even is.
I don't know what that is.
It's crazy. It's crazy though how often you hear like designers say that, like they, like how you just mentioned, you didn't know, like when you were in fourth grade, you knew that you were going to this experience where you would design or draw a shoe rather, and then you hear a lot of designers say, "Oh my gosh, I didn't know that you could do this and make a living off of it." Like I remember you said that as well.
But one you also time. Know what it is? A lot of black designers.
You know, there you go. That's a fact. That's the biggest fact of them all.
That's the thing.
Real talk. So like.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's a huge correlation I just noticed just now, because Craig definitely mentioned that before.
Yeah, and still, even then, I didn't really realize it, right? Because you got to think, like, there's no real careers there other than working for General Motors. So my goal still in life was like, yo, maybe I could get a job working in the shop here or whatnot. But it wasn't until like sixth grade when like It's the Shoes came out on ESPN, and you got to see the headquarters and Bobbito Garcia going into these places and meeting with New Balance or Jordan Brand. And I get to actually see like people sketching in it. It's like that was like a little like token I could throw in the bank. And then like around eighth grade, Jordan, the website, the Jumpman 23, started doing interviews with like Dwayne Edwards and Jason Maiden, and then them breaking down shoes. And I'm like, oh, this is a whole nother level like to this. Like you can actually see the creative, you know, behind it and them storytelling. And I'm like, okay, like it's becoming more of a reality. And then I think the key with that too was to see two black guys doing it. Cause at the time I didn't know who were designers. So I was like, yo, if two black dudes doing it, I definitely should be doing this. So, you know, so when I got to high school, it just became a thing and still like kept pursuing it. And then, 2010, I had the Nike Future Sole, which was a like prior to Pensole, they had did a design competition, and I ended up placing top six in the country. So that little motivation there was like Nike acknowledging you and, you know, connecting you with a real designer, letting you know your work was solid, or and critiquing you was like, okay, I could really do this. So that little nugget right there, like kind of lasted me all through college and everything else. Like, okay, I was acknowledged once. This is a passion I have. I'm a consumer first and foremost. I love this stuff, and you know, just kind of definitely inspired me to keep pushing forward. So,
And even growing up, building off your story, even you get kind of even gaining that interest into design. Like, who was your influences growing up? Like, was there certain people within Flint, like that came from Flint, whether it was professional athletes or even anything, or just in general, like growing up, like who was like some of the favorite shoes or athletes, et cetera, that kind of influenced you to be like, man, I love sneakers.
In terms of sneakers, I think, you know, I lived a lot through print, you know, like magazines, Soul Collector magazine. So that was really cool. But in terms of Flint, like, yeah, we had a lot of athletes at the time. We had a lot of boxers. So like Chris Berry was the heavyweight champion. And I grew up boxing, too. I used to get into a lot of fights, so I started doing boxing. So Andre Anthony Durrell had went to the Olympics. So me as a kid, seeing two guys go to the Olympics, I'm still not realizing the significance of it, though. I'm thinking, like, everybody's go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
So, you know, seeing that, you know, young Clarissa Shields was around, you know, stuff like that. And then in terms of, like, basketball, you know, Michigan State and the Flintstones, Mateen Cleaves, you know, McDonald's All-American, all that stuff. So seeing them dudes, you know, rocking Reebok and the Question and all that. And then you know, the Pistons, too. You know, Grant Hill, Jerry Stack, you know, that was kind of like, the team wasn't that good, but it was kind of cool seeing those guys and what they were pulling out with Fila at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was a culmination of all that stuff. And then also, like, the Air Jordan 17 was the shoe for me. Like, when you see kids coming to school with the case and all that, like, you know, it was like a whole nother level. So that was the shoe, I think. That and the Jumpman team, too. Like, I remember vividly, like, turning, like this into like a real like fascination. Like the team too was like, I was learning how to spell at the time, like, you know, and they had like the Jordan written across the mid, so you like looking down at the letters like, yo, like, you know. So that was a moment. And
yeah,
that 17, just seeing that box and seeing that at like finish line, like I remember crying for that shoe, like, man, I need this.
But, we all have at least one shoe that we were like, nah.
You know what's crazy, X? And no, you're right. Everybody had that one shoe.
I'll do anything for that shoe.
That one shoe.
Yeah.
You got one?
Is that I do. It's a crazy story. I almost like we interviewed Chase, and it was actually funny because I almost was gonna talk about the story, but my first shoe that really made me pop off with sneakers, to be honest, my sister was the one that actually got me into sneakers. Jordan 17s. And that's how it was like that relation. Because literally, like, when you end up looking at the packaging, and even as a kid, man, like, when you have that detail to the T, where it's just like, where you feel like it's like art in the design aspect, like, man, like, when you look at a shoe like that, you feel like there's nothing that's lacking, like, from A to Z from that shoe. Like, literally.
Yeah, it was crazy. The first designer I met when I was in college was Wilson Smith, also a black guy who designed the Jordan 17. So that was another moment for me where it was like, yo, like, you know, just to ask him about that process and took me to dinner and all this kind of crazy stuff. So I was like, man, that's crazy. I wonder where you was at. This was at Eastern. He had came to Michigan.
Really?
And yeah, he had did a talk at Michigan. And being I had did the Nike competition, I knew the guy who was a student there who was like putting on the event because Wilson became like his mentor. And from there, I just kind of snuck in there and we just was chopping it up for 2 days while he was in town. So I was like, man, this is crazy. So yeah, the 17 for me, yeah, like, yeah, that was a groundbreaking shoe, like with the CD ROMs and all that. I finally got all the CD ROMs and a couple pairs. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best Jordan in terms of storytelling for me. What? Like, it just set everything apart.
What about you, Craig? You got a shoe that, like,
No, it's not about me.
What was the shoe for you, Francis? For you?
That I would like this.
Yeah, that kicked it off. Like, really, really kicked it off.
Cool Grey 11s.
Yeah.
Lemons?
Yeah. That I was like, okay, nah, I like sneakers. You know what I'm saying? But or like Uptowns, like pair Ups, you know, like Ups was really my shit in Dunks when I was little. When I could, like, when I first noticed like sneakers.
Highs?
Nah, Lows. I used to like Lows a whole lot. Only because like the colors and like it was so simple that it was easy to just like. But and it was Nike, so it was something big. To me, it was something big. I was never like too crazy with
but
it.
But as far as designers go, X, who was your top designer?
Well, before we get into that, I just want to speak on the Air Force One mid. Why everybody hating on the mid now?
Like,
I
never hated on the mid.
Oh, what?
You know what's funny though?
Go ahead.
Nah, I fuck with the mid. I got a pair of all white mids, and
I had the white and green. I had the white and orange.
I had the white and blue joints.
The wheat
with the Sean John. Hey, X
are the best ones
with the Sean John velour.
This is the mid free. Nobody hating here.
Yeah, but it's true. You're right though. A lot of people hating on the mids for some reason these days. But you know why? Because not a lot of people know how to wear them anymore.
Because it's now.
Yeah, now. Nobody know how to wear them now. It's like the strap is killing people. Man. Like,
yeah, the free floating strap, man. I was legendary. You like,
come on, facts though.
Is that happening in Vietnam? Is that what you're telling me? Nobody fuck with the mids in Vietnam out here, man.
Man, they just got to figure out how to rock them. Like, how do you used to wear them then? Let's get to the tee. How you used to rock your mids?
With the strap undone, but all the collapses wing on the mids too. Like y'all acting like the NYC, the Air Force One wasn't a mid, the Vicks, the LaDainian Tomlinsons, all the hot mids that we were getting at Foot Locker was all mids. Like you couldn't really get a high other than the sheets, and it was hard to get. So the lows kind of evolved into something, but like the mids, like I'm like, man, that's what I thought those were dope.
Those were the mids were definitely the first ones where people were like, nah, Air Force One. Like I don't know how the highs caught so much traction.
I know why the highs caught traction.
Oh, Rasheed Wallace.
I guess.
Well, yeah, but even when Rasheed Wallace put them out, now I don't know why highs are put above mids. Like now, people ain't going after Rasheed Wallace shoes. They just going after.
Can we not skip the fact that Nelly put Air Force Ones on?
He did. Like,
yeah,
period.
He did.
Can we not?
There's no arguing.
Yeah, he did. But you know, it's kind of.
I don't believe in him, but I'm just saying. Just overall.
Yeah. But you know how it is. Like when you're a fan of something way before something pop off. You know what I'm saying? Like, like it didn't take Nelly to do this. Like for me, like with SBs, like. Niggas been on SB since Auto Rocket. Like, let's not get it twisted.
Oh, for sure.
Since Rocket Power. Like, I was trying to see him be a skateboarder just based off Rocket Power, bro. Like,
do you skate, though?
Yeah, actually, I do.
No, you don't.
Okay. Shorty in the room. You can ask Shorty.
He not give you that.
See? It's a fact.
Willie was on that early. He was on that early. You really was.
Was he surfing,
too? He was putting me on the skate shops in Seattle and all that stuff when we was in school.
X, was he surfing?
What you mean?
That surfboard. What is he surfing?
Oh, so now he's moving a field goal post now.
Nah, we had a different conversation in a different segment. We're talking about surfboarding, surfing. So, he made a face like, "Oh yeah, I know what I'm talking about." So,
no, that's a fact though. That's a fact though. That's a fact though.
He's already smiling, gleaming like,
man.
Nah, motherfucker, you don't. I don't surf.
I don't surf. No, he was skateboarding though. They was all
surfing.
No, skateboarding.
All right, let's get back to the conversation.
Yeah, that's it, right? But long story short.
Hey, Craig a header. Y'all can tell. You can sense it. He hating. He mad. He can't skateboard. My man got two left feet.
Hey, man, I never hate.
But in terms of my favorite designer, though, it was Jason Maiden for me. Like, I thought he was a cool dude.
That's new, though. That's new.
What was that?
He's new. No, he's not new, but I mean, like, back when you were in college, he was your favorite designer?
When I was in middle school, he was my favorite designer. Mm. I told you that Jumpman 23 website, like Jason Maiden made it real for me. Like
Jumpman 23. Jumpman
23 when he was doing the Jeters, the Jeter line, and then the start of the Chris Paul line for me. That was always my guy because I didn't really know who Tinker was until later. Like again, my introduction to footwear was those two dudes. So, Jason Maiden for me was like that dude, just the way he presents himself, the way he talks, and then he was like cool. Like you look at the Soul Collector, you got his chain on, and you know the fitted. You know, all that stuff that was like, all right, this dude kind of gets it. Like, he didn't seem like, you know, so like artsy or whatnot. He seemed like a guy who was just
down to earth,
designing kicks. So that was kind of my inspiration, personally.
That's what's up. Yeah. I remember when he came to the office.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, that was legendary.
Yeah, so let's talk about your career trajectory. So, like, when you were at Eastern Michigan, was it right out of high school you already knew you wanted to design and you just entered school based into design, or was it just something that you kind of found later while you were in school?
Like I said, that was pretty much it. That was the only inspiration. So since I was like 10, that was it. Like, I wanted to design sneakers. So going to Eastern was kind of like I ended up following my wife going to Eastern because I was planning on going to art or design schools at the time. And then even in high school, like, I wasn't really like, I don't know, like the idea of like sports and stuff was kind of weird for me. Like, I played sports, but I didn't really understand my scholarships and all that. So like, I had a couple like interests and stuff for football, and you know, I played basketball. I did like shit, discus shot put when I was like second in the state. I didn't even go to the state tournament, bro. Like, I threw second in my conference, got a silver medal, qualified for the state tournament.
He was like, I'm good.
Discus. Yeah, but I didn't understand at the time, you know, because nobody in my family had ever went to college or nothing. So the idea of it was still kind of like, it is what, like, it didn't really resonate for me. Yeah. Like, so I'm not thinking that if I could push the sports things or, like, take advantage of it. So the art thing was kind of my thing. And then seeing how expensive art schools were, like, you looking at, like, well, Craig, no, going to SCAD, like, you looking at bands, like, a lot of money, like, double the amount that it would cost to go to, like, an Eastern Michigan or something like that, like, $40,000-$50,000 a year, which is crazy. And so me just looking at that and like trying to figure that out with no scholarships, none of that, because I didn't know. Like, I didn't even know how to apply to this shit. Like, I was sitting here chilling.
But let's back up.
Yeah.
What was the thing that made you say, you know what, I want to become a footwear designer? Or like, I think I can do this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We had these conversations before between you and I, like, what was me? Like, I remember reading, in Slam magazine, I had this conversation before with Kicks and Slam magazine, and that's what it was for me. It was like, oh shit, I can do this, or like, oh shit, this is possible. So, what was it? What was the thing for you that you said, I can do this?
Again, going back to, like I said, it's the shoes. Like, nobody really watched that show on ESPN. Like, really, like, when I asked people about it, like, what are you talking about?
I didn't watch it.
I was tuned in. I was tuned in.
That's why I ain't design
school. Yeah, it used
now.
To come on like after the
game. Now I ain't design school.
That was real for me because it was no longer like just the product. Like, again, like, he's going to these global headquarters and he's doing product testing and he's meeting with athletes and all this stuff. So that was like, okay. And then, like I said, like, just seeing two black dudes being the lead designers on Jordan on the website was when you see yourself in, you know, people, like, that was like, yo, like, I look like them, I can actually do this, you know what I'm saying? And then it just was like small things that just kept pushing me towards that way. But I think a combination of those two, like, really, like, made me believe it was real, like, you know.
No, that's what, that definitely I wanted to, you said that, I'm glad you said that, because I really wanted to ask you that. How much realer did it become for you seeing that someone that, or people that look like you? Because that could be the difference maker. Like, for example, you mentioned that the main reason you probably missed out on a scholarship for your athleticism because you just simply didn't know. And maybe if you did know it, that would have changed everything. So it's like if you see somebody that looks like you doing something that you are also intrigued by, I'm sure, I mean, we all know, because no matter what it is, it becomes more, even more real and more possible. So, like, how was that, like, epiphany for you when you, I know you said that multiple times so far since we've been talking, but actually seeing it, and then how do you feel like your impact being that person for somebody potentially, how is, just give me your point of view on that.
Yeah, like, definitely, I think that was it. Like, again, it just allowed me to dream a little bit more. So, like, again, like, college or school and all that stuff didn't really seem like a reality for whatever reason, because I didn't know nobody that was really doing it, being where I'm from. And so, it just pushed me to go a little bit harder, and, you know, was inspired by those guys. And in terms of me, like, I don't feel that way yet. Like, it's kind of weird. I mean, I still got a lot of growth and things to do, but I guess it's kind of surreal to think that I could inspire a young kid or, you know, the next generation to be into footwear or pursue this career path, because I didn't really understand the ins and outs of it. So it's kind of crazy to say that, because it's like, you know, we're getting older and we progress, but I still feel like I'm like the same 11-year-old kid. Like, it's kind of weird. The same stuff excites me. I still love sneakers the same way. I still like the same, you know, athletes or hooping, stuff like that. So it's like, it's kind of weird to think that, you know, you could be that inspiration for somebody, you know, coming up.
You judgy, though.
Whatever I can do to help.
You definitely judgy.
I'm always that. You
know, it's funny because me and him be talking kicks and sneakers, and he be like, bro, like what you like lately or what you get? And I tell him, he like, that's okay. Like, bro, can I live? Like, he be like, man, because he be talking about from a whole different world, though. That's and nice. I respect
that's,
it.
That's nothing. We had many battles. Many battles.
Really?
Back in Reebok. Mad shit.
Yeah, the good days, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, once you end up getting to Eastern, and then you end up, what was the experience of Sacramento Kings like?
It wasn't bad. At Eastern, it was dope because, like, I came in, I was just trying to get in with Adidas, right? So that was the thing. So, like, I'm like, hold on, like, we got Adidas reps here. One day I was in the library and just, like, it kind of, like, flashed. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll try this. So I hit up Jay. It's like, yo, like, could I get in? But the whole thing was like, yo, when, like, fucking Rawlings or Shit or any of these companies come in, like, can I network with these guys?
Yeah,
like, I'm into sports, whatever, design, but Adidas was the goal. So, like, Mark the Fighter was like the regional rep for all of, like, the Midwest. So seeing those dudes come in and then bring sample product and bring stuff to the team and all that, and then I'm a 13, so, like, if Coach E didn't want y'all rocking something like the RG3 cleats, I just fuck around and like, get the new D-Rose. Like, I'm gonna go hoop in the D-Rose for a couple months, and then, like, people wasn't really even like, they weren't giving, like, wear test, like, feedback to Adidas. So, like, I'd be like, well, I'll do it. So, like, I'll be writing all, like, crazy.
You know, I would have gave it to him. You know how I felt about them cleats. We ain't gonna go there.
Oh, yeah, you did. She was off them 5 stars. Yeah, but you had a 13, so. But anyway, yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then from there, I just was asking questions. Like, that's me, man, naturally inquisitive, like, why can't I do something? So it's like, these shirts kind of weak. Yo, can I design the shirts? Sure. Who designed the shirts? And I go to them. Okay, this dude don't know what he do. All right, I'll do that. And Pack Mode was doing marketing for the school. Okay, I could design stuff. All right, design that. Now I got shirts in the fan store. Okay. From there, develop a relationship with all the coaches. It's like, what, 20 something Division I sports. So cool. I was cool with you, but, like, we was working with everybody. So it's like, you know.
That's how you got Willie them women's shoes.
All these different teams. So that was cool too. And then just, you know, interacting with people and all that. But yeah, going into the Kings, it was dope because, you know, I got to interact with professional athletes on a daily basis for the most part. But the downside to it was kind of like, they would kind of hold you back a bit. Like, we're at Eastern or other places, even at Reebok, right? Like, it's kind of like, you get, if you want it, you can get it. Like, you know, if I see something there, if nobody's stopping me, I'm gonna go get it. So when I was in the NBA, it was kind of a little bit more segmented. Like, it was a lot smaller too. You only working with one team with 15 dudes versus, you know, 20 something sports. You got the, you know, hundreds of kids around, all this stuff. So that was a big difference, but it was super easy though too. Like, that's what I was trying to tell him, because, like, I had did this at a pretty high level. Like, you know, I had the keys all the arena. Like, yeah, we'd go hoop at the combo 3 in the morning, all this stuff. Like, it was good times. So transitioning where you're a little bit more limited and we're just dealing with sneakers, it was kind of like, yo, like, I could be doing a little bit more. So I think me transitioning over to the graphic side of creative services was a cool thing for me, because I just wasn't that fulfilled. But it was dope, like, halfway of the season, just meeting players and interacting with the visiting team on game days. Like, that was super dope. Like, just talking with dudes, shopping it up with them and shoot around, or, you know, running an errand for them. Like, just little stuff like that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Good look, too.
And then, like, just from that, fast forward, when you get the Reebok, now you're at Reebok. And even fast forward while you're there, like, the very first time you're able to, like, collaborate with Allen Iverson, like, what was that experience like? Because that's major, bro. Like, and let me build into that, because Allen Iverson is probably the one of the people who probably end up touched every kid, every black kid in the hood, literally. Like, I don't know one person who don't like Allen Iverson as a player.
Every kid, period.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Who's a fan of basketball?
That from the hood that would just try to emulate
with
that
the,
look.
With the sleeve.
Sleeve,
all
the tattoos,
that.
The braids, the
fact.
Headband. Like, and you don't even blame him, because, like, that's just what Allen Iverson was and stood for. Like,
yeah.
He's a staple, real talk.
Bro, what was that experience like? And how surreal was that for you?
Yeah, well, for me, again, like, when the 17 hit, those Answer 4s hit. So I got them for Christmas, and I was like, yo, like, that's, like, again, probably my top two basketball shoes of all time. So being able to work on something like that is crazy. Like, the Answer 4, all-time favorite. Like, I had the velour suit with those joints. Just like,
hey.
What's with y'all velour suits?
It was, hey.
The velour suits.
That was a go back there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the first time I got to work with AI and his team was randomly, because, like, I was on the inline team with Craig at the time, and we had, like, a few more experienced designers kind of doing some of the basketball colorways and design stuff. But what happened was we ended up doing a crash project for the 2016 Hall of Fame. And so my guy B. Lee, he's at the NBA Players Association now. We was chilling one day. He was like, yo, we need to try to do something for this. And so he ended up, like, FaceTiming Shaq. We had a conference call with Shaq trying to figure out, like, something we could do. And then we did one with AI. So that was a quick thing to, like, do a message on the sock liner for the fans. So that was my first time really working with it. And then the next time, no, around the same time, was doing the high school stuff. So we had St. Anthony's. I'm a big high school basketball fan. So we had St. Anthony's and got to meet with Bob Hurley and to kind of design their uniforms and sneakers. And
that's a
big,
that's a major basketball school too.
Mm-hmm. When that was the last season though, that's the crazy part. It was the last season. So I got to design the last season of St. Anthony's. I was like, that's crazy. Cause I grew up watching it on ESPN and all that. And then getting to meet Hurley and going to the games, that was like a whole other thing too. So those are my two first experiences, and then which later led on to a ton of colorways and stuff from there.
That's love. That's love.
Yeah.
And then moving forward, like, to sit here and reflect where you, when you started, and just to even to get to this point, it's just like one of those things where it's like something you probably wouldn't even imagined. Like, growing up, like, yeah, you ended up initially, like, wanting to get into design, but, like, when you get to the point, and I'm sure Craig could even talk to this, like, when you get to the point where, like, you end up going through those trials and tribulations, even in school, like, you know, we can all sit here and say, like, yeah, school's whatever, but, like, school can be tough in its own ways, and you go through your own little things, you be like, man, but then when you finally get to that point where you're at the place where you want it to be, and you manifested it, and you got to that position, like, how does that feel? And I actually want to ask both of you guys this.
Yeah, you can go first. Me and Craig talk about this a lot. Like, man, me and Craig spent so many late hours, like, man, working. I remember, you know, when Craig got the whip, man, just driving around Boston, like, listening to Jeezy. You know what I'm saying?
Jeezy,
that's
huh?
Why you talk about them ad-libs. Nah.
It's a whole different experience, man. Living in Boston, I tell you, whole different experience.
Going through that parking garage with that trap or die going, man, that shit was different. It was just, like, motivation. It was good to have somebody like Craig around, too. Like, that was dope, just to, you know, reminisce and bounce ideas off of.
Yeah.
But, in terms of being there, I guess you don't really feel like you're in it. Like, even now, right? Like, I could say I'm designing Iverson's now, or I'm doing colorways now, or player exclusives and all this stuff now. I think maybe the disdain comes from stuff maybe not executing exactly how you want it or how you envisioned it. And you're dealing with marketing and you're dealing with development and you don't meet deadlines or stuff gets pushed back or stuff gets dropped.
It's
so
a little
you never
more
really
than that,
feel like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little more than that. But it doesn't ever feel like you're kind of doing it when you're doing it. I guess it's more kind of like in a year or two when you look back, like when I look back on some of the Iverson stuff or some of the bigger projects I had before, it's kind of like, man, I really did that. But at the time, you know, I didn't really realize the significance of it. But
yeah,
a lot of times
you see it as a job, right? You see
it's
work, right? You go, oh, my job is to, I'm working, my project is to design this basketball shoe for Iverson or whoever I'm working with.
Well, shit, how was it for you though? Like, to end up seeing yourself manifest and getting to the position where you wanted to be.
It was similar to what X is saying.
Yeah,
for sure. Because it's like, like it's like you don't expect it, right? You don't.
Yeah.
But you have imagined it in the past.
And you're working, but you're working towards it.
You're working towards it, right? So then once you actually get there, it's like, oh shit, I'm here. But you're not even thinking, oh shit, I'm here. It's like
you just keep going because you're still working. Like, it's like you're still working like, towards something else.
But it's like I'm here. I'm in here. Like I'm there, right? So now it's just like I'm just trying to execute the product the best way I can execute it. But then once you look at it, once you're done for working at it, it's like, why did I do that? Or what were we thinking about? Or like, why? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
is it ever like a how? Like
how why? All the above.
But it's never. But both of y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. It's never because you're like jaded by the process, is it?
Well, maybe not for X, but for me, I was definitely.
Okay. Nah, because that's interesting. Creators can say that.
1,000%.
You definitely become jaded by the process as time goes on.
Yeah.
So how do you find experience? How do you find inspiration then? When that becomes the case.
X, you can go first. Well, you got this.
Yeah, I bounce off Craig. Like Craig was a great mentor for me because he had been doing it for so long. So man, like Craig is very much like key on simplifying things. Like you get in your own way. Like, well, they told me I need 3 straps, and it's for this kid in London who was gonna rock it on a winter in Berlin. And he'd be like, dog, like the hood ain't fucking with it. Like that's why. I'd be like, oh, you're right. Like that's what I need to be. That's right.
That's right. So you need those people to bring you back to reality too, though.
Man, that's true. Yeah, because
there's nobody else there.
It was nobody else there. But like again, like when you win it and like you're new to stuff too, like I'm like, well, maybe this is how it is. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe I'm the one that's off, and Craig would just walk in the meeting. Like, how you guys feel about this shoe? Craig, like, this shit trash. And everybody's like looking at each other, like what's going on? Like,
but when y'all say there's no one else there, is it no one else like y'all, or who's that else that y'all looking for?
Exactly. What you're saying.
You gotta think.
It's both.
Yeah,
there's no one there of both. Color. Is that what you're asking?
Mm. Oh, so I'm saying, like, 100%. Is it when you say that, and then when you walk in a meeting and you're saying X, you're saying that Craig could walk in and say this shit is trash, right?
But that's the biggest shock of walking into the situation. Period. It's like you grow up thinking this Iverson or this Jordan or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Right. You're thinking like, oh, a black dude designed this, a black girl designed this. You think it's someone of color designed these products, right?
Exactly.
Right? Normally, right?
Yeah. You would assume that.
You would assume that, right? Yep. And then when you get in the game, it's like,
oh, love.
Nobody of color.
It's 2 of us and in a whole category.
There's nothing.
It's 2 of us in a whole. It's like 2 of us in a whole building, not just a category.
Man.
It's 2 of us in a whole building.
And it's funny because nothing against them, but it's just like
what makes it even worse is like they try to put you into a category.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of times I heard people going like, oh, I want to design running or I want to design training, but they'll go,
nah, you lifestyle.
There you go.
I already know.
There you go. No, you lifestyle.
Yeah, but you got lifestyle.
That's the whole.
We need you there, buddy. And that's the sad part about it.
Yeah.
Actually,
it is sad. The cool part though is say if Craig wasn't in lifestyle, then we never would have connected, and then maybe I would feel a different way about Reebok Classic. So like, it's a weird thing because it's like I'd be looking at other teams sometimes, like because like our team was super diverse. Like we work with like a Koreans, Colombians, Japanese, Italians. Very rarely like just normal like, you know, white guys or you know, in our design group. So our group was super, super diverse to the point where like it kind of skewed my view of the rest of the industry a little bit. Cause I know when I was an intern at New Balance, it was kind of different too. It was like, I don't feel like I have a voice and I don't really know when I can speak because you know what I'm saying? Nobody really relates or looks like me. So you kind of always trying to fit into a box.
But let's talk on that too, because when you were at New Balance, you were telling me before, like there wasn't that many people there of a color.
None, versus when you came to Reebok. Yeah, but that was freedom to me. Like, dog, like, I had to wear slacks and a button-up to work every day, design sneakers.
What?
I mean, it was dope for me because I was designing at New Balance.
It's a whole different culture.
Yeah, like
slacks and a button-up?
It's a whole different culture.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't wear jeans and none of that. Like, if you wear a sweatshirt, a hoodie is kind of like, yo.
And
like,
you're creative. And you're creative.
That's, yeah, that's
the like box right there. That's how it starts.
No, but all the jobs I worked though when I was in creative until I got the Reebok was that way. When you work for the Sacramento Kings, you damn near like if you ain't wearing a tie, it's kind of like, yo, like you kind of pushing it. Like so coming to Reebok, where like my first day, dudes is hooping and McEdward, Laguerre showing me around, and I'm looking like, then I meet Craig and then you know Jeremy and Wayne and all these dudes, and we playing basketball every day at lunch. And
hey, I got a question. I got a question.
Yeah,
can Craig hoop?
Yeah, Craig, not bad.
I can pause.
Craig would play a lot in the 5-on-5 runs because he would be doing work and stuff. But like after work, me and Craig would get it in.
Okay. All right.
Why you ask?
We gonna see.
Oh.
We gonna get a session in with
Let's
us.
Let's play.
We gonna get a session in for sure. Nice. I just had to ask.
Yeah.
But go ahead. My bad.
No.
That ain't sample.
No, but yeah, it's this weird thing though, like where I'm like, as much as like I don't want to be put in a box, it's like it does allow me to kind of flourish a little bit when this is what we actually know. But I think the other aspect too is what Craig was saying, like not only is nobody like us like in those positions or represent us, it's like also most people in the industry aren't into sneakers. Like they just end up getting a job, or they got into like my favorite shoes, the Jordan 1, and you know what I'm saying, I just start buying them like last year. I love this. And it's like,
oh,
that's another thing where like I think innately we have kind of like a history of product or marketing because we grew up so close to seeing this
it's
stuff
just a part and, of the culture
being, the culture yeah it's the culture
of, it's
so
culture.
So something we think is simple, like somebody else would like they wouldn't really get there. So Craig, I think for me, man, was the king of like bringing me back down to earth for like, no, that's whack. He just keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Just keep it simple.
I'm
like,
trying to keep it realistic,
you know, gonna buy this. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm trying to keep it realistic. That was it. I was pretty harsh at times, but...
But you know what's crazy? I don't think it's coincidental that you're saying, like, keep it simple. Simple to us is just, like you mentioned, that's just our culture. That's what we do, da, da, da. And then someone else might try to step in and emulate that, and then just it's too much.
Well, I have the same struggle at Champion. Like, I'm talking to my team now. I'm just like, nobody's going to fuck with this. I don't know what y'all talking, drinking, smoking. Like, this don't make sense. Like, this don't make sense.
I can only imagine.
But it's even worse because it's like, nobody, I used to tell X at the same time, like, nobody fucks with, you got to walk into this building as, nobody fucks with Reebok. It's like, you have to look at it as, nobody fucks with Reebok. Mm-hmm. No one fucks with us. Mm-hmm. So we got to make the best product for the best price, the best looking. That's the mindset even walk into the situation. So if Champion is the same thing, but even 20 times worse. Nobody's buying Champion footwear.
Nah.
So this is why I'm here. Nah. I'm here to bring that perspective. Like, you understand it. Nobody's buying
us,
right?
Nobody's fucking with us right now.
Nobody's fucking with us, right? So how do we make people fuck with us?
But the funny thing is with that, and I understand it to the whole degree. And it's funny because we're in an age where, like, if you don't have an association or collaborations with a brand, like, nah, it's dead for you.
But
like,
it's even worse because now you got social media, you got all this shit
going
on.
Man, I'm saying.
I mean, now it's,
these kids is like, bro, if y'all ain't got no Supremes to collab with Champion, we good. But if y'all got it, oh, y'all got that Kith Champion collab, oh, selling out instantly. Supreme instantly. Like, and it's crazy.
Facts.
But Champion's been putting out the same product for a long time. And to be honest, like, socks, hoodies, shorts.
Everything.
And it's
for
like
everybody.
The material don't change.
Okay, so now let's talk about
come on
Champion footwear. Why would you buy Champion footwear?
I ain't gonna lie, I'm not about to buy Champion footwear, my G.
You would not, but you buy a Champion slide.
I've only seen one Champion.
I'll say straight up, hell nah.
I seen one Champion footwear silhouette, and it literally looks like the Monarch, from what I remember.
Cool, but would you buy
a
Champion slide?
There's a lot of shoes like
that
though.
Yeah, for sure.
A slipper?
Yeah.
I still wouldn't buy a Champion slipper.
I would.
So that's our perspective. That's my perspective. Let's figure out what people viewed Champion for and tie that to footwear. So slippers, slides, those things make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No? But let's not talk about the Champion footwear. We're here for X.
But now we're going to bleed into this because for you guys as shoe designers, like I feel like for me, like my world product marketing manager for like what I do as a W-2. But it's like now... My job, what I do, is actually very similar to what these PLMs do, but it's just into the sneaker industry.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you work with these people who are actually curating and designing these things and you collaborate with these PLMs, it's just like, okay, now you already have an organization putting you in a box, but now you got a marketing team putting you in a box.
Oh, so that's normal.
And this,
yeah,
but
that's
it's,
giving. That's giving. It's not yours. Yeah,
but
it's not yours.
It's probably even worse in the sneaker industry just because of just the things and the stories that I hear of and that I know of. It's just like, you. It's a good and bad relationship, right?
Ask X.
I mean, like, what is like working with PLMs? This is a good and bad experience, right? Like, you're gonna have some success, but you're also gonna have some failures. But I also feel like there's a lot of times where there hasn't been a real transparent relationship where the shoe designer really can't collaborate with the PLM to actually end up building a story that actually can resonate with the target audience.
Yeah. No, yeah, for me, like, I think it's a level of ego with it, like, at times, because, like, their job is to kind of build out these lines in this range, and they kind of see us as, like, the talent aspect. Like, we bring their vision to life. But I think where me and Craig, well, not me and Craig, but people that are cultured, right? Like, you could sit there and go, okay, that may work, but, like, look at it from this angle, because, like, I bought these shoes, or I know this audience. I know what they would want from us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the battle, because then they'd be like, well, you're trying to do my job. And it's like, nah, like, that's not it. I just know what will resonate more for our consumers versus right. You kind of like, you know, oh, I got this this trend forecast report, and they told us, you know,
because we're closer to the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Closer to the consumer, yeah. So I feel that's usually the battle at times. I mean, other times I've been able to work really well with some PLMs, but a lot of times it's that battle of like feeling like you're kind of stepping on their toes or doing their job. And it's like, no, I'm just trying to build the best product. Like, what makes sense for us, like, versus what this trend report somebody sent you that told you this would work.
And actually,
'cause 9 out of 10, it doesn't work.
Actually, X is the king of that. More so than me.
Word.
Yeah, actually definitely spoke up numerous times and has presented numerous of ideas to the PLMs and PMs to be like, hey, we should do this, we should do that. But a lot of times they just weren't, feeling it, or they're just like, they're just probably not receptive.
And then, like, I mean, listening to both of y'all speak, and both of y'all keep using the word culture and using it in a sense in which that you guys were engulfed in it, raised in it. That's the reason why you know what you're talking about. So I want to ask you, X, how do you feel when you hear, let's say, like, specific brands and specific designers that aren't necessarily a part of this culture, our culture, you guys' culture within the sneaker design, to use the word culture, and when they say this is the culture of our brand, but ultimately,
cringeworthy, probably.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how? But ultimately, it does come down to our culture. But when you hear them use that word culture, you know, how does it make you feel as a designer, not a consumer, not as a consumer, but as a designer?
For me, I never really got offended by it because that's their POV, right? Like, I mean, my POV growing up, how I grew up, is a little different too. So I think that's my view of my culture.
Yep.
And sure, if, you know, Willie or Francis or Craig relate to it, then I guess we're kind of in that bucket because we grew up a certain way. So, like, I don't look at it from that angle. Maybe that's their POV of it. I just hate when, like, people, like, buy into, like, the culture thing. Like, now it's, like, a thing where, like, I guess it's been that way from the start, though. Like, people want to be a part of things. And instead of, like, really doing the research and feeling like they understand it, like, for me, like, even what Craig was saying, like, in terms of presenting or bringing up ideas, I'm the king of history and research. Like, if I'm going to touch a running shoe, let me know every shoe that came from this range and why it existed versus me just, oh, I'm going to design this cool runner because I'm in the runners now. That never been a thing for me. So it's always been like, why does this make sense for the brand? Why does it make sense for the history? Easier because I'm closer to that consumer and grew up in it. But I feel that's how you should approach design or product marketing versus just, okay, this brand is doing it, let's tag on. And I feel like that's usually what it is. Like, Hoka's doing this, okay, we're doing that. Oh, they're doing this in fashion, we need to do that, versus, like, you know, what do we really stand for? What do people like to buy from our brand?
100%
yeah. So yeah, that's the way I look at it, though. But yeah,
Because that's a different point. No, because a lot of people, you say that now, it's like, when you say the word culture, what are you referring to? And a lot of people are ready to call people out for that. But the answer you just gave is a real solid one too. And it's a different point of view, like you mentioned.
Yeah, well, it's a fine line that you're dealing with, because you're dealing with a corporate situation versus what you know will work, what you which you wholeheartedly believe will work, mm-hmm. right, within a product.
This is true. And then now you have social media, and then people just see something and take it verbatim, you know, as is, and they think, like, okay, I saw it, I saw so-and-so do it this way, so I know that's how this is supposed to be done. And that's not always the case.
Correct, correct.
You can only imagine.
But I do know, recently, there was a BBC collaboration with Reebok.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I've seen that.
The collaborating with the answer, the question mm-hmm. blows. X presented this idea like 3 years ago.
Really? Willie, you listen to
You know what I'm talking about, right?
The BBC Lowe's?
X, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Because X, again, he bought research and about history. He literally, one of the first things he presented was Pharrell, BBC, Virginia, right?
Yep.
Iverson, Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. Let's collaborate these two ideas together and make a whole pack. They're just now coming up with his idea. This is 2020.
It's,
this dude presented his concept like, what, X, what, 2016, 2017?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, you know me, like, again, I grew up rocking the ice creams. It's like the Board Flip 2s that went to Outlet. So they were like $29.99 at the time.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so, like, I still got a few pair when I was in high school. Then I went back and started buying, like, the beepers. And
I wish I just copped all those, money, bro, when it was on sale.
Yeah, but the thing is, you guys have to be in these fucking boardrooms or in these meetings when they're telling you, no, this is not going to work, or no, we don't believe in this, or no, this isn't the right time for this.
Right.
3 years ago, and this idea was presented. And now it's like, we can do it now.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I was calling it. Yeah, that is crazy.
Right?
I forgot about that.
X don't even say that's crazy, too, by the way,
because
bro.
Because me and X have had conversations about these things, like, for years.
Yeah.
It's just, we forget about them. But one of the things I saw today, I was like, we had this conversation like 2 years ago.
Why do you think that is, though?
It's, well, I can answer that even with me not even being in boardrooms, man. And it's really about, let me guess, but my educated guess, it's really about diversity and inclusion. So what happens is when we don't have anybody in these leadership positions, you can't sit here and translate like any kind of perception or anything where it's just like whether it's going to end up reaching somebody or even if it's bad decisions that a company is going to make. And then also we end up getting to a point, you know, when you don't have the diversity and inclusion, it's just like, why isn't that? And it's like, what are we doing to pursue it? And then now we even get to the state where we are in 2020. It's just like, now it's just like, I don't even want to hear about it no more, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, even as shoe designers or even within the industry, mm-hmm. or even for you, Francis, even working, you know, where you work at, it's just like, now it's to the point where it's like, I don't want to hear about it. Like, I'd rather just sit here and see what you're going to do. I want to see more action. So it's like, what are going to be these things that you're going to implement within these, you know, within programs where you can end up getting kids interested in design or, you know, black kids? Like, for me, I could sit here and spit out a lot of ideas. To be honest, I could sit here and just make one up right now, right out the rip, right out the gate. And I'm just one of them product marketing dudes. I can tell you right now, if I'm going to sit here and try to end up creating some diversity and inclusion plan or program, what I'll do is I'll do exactly what Microsoft, exactly what all these high tech companies do. I'll sit here and I'll go to all these schools and all these campuses. I'll sit here and try to recruit. But not only that, if you don't even want to go that route with the universities, I'm going to sit here and go more grassroots and start working with the high schools. So what I'll do is I'll sit here and work with all these minority workers that I have that's already working, whether it's a Reebok, Adidas, Nike, New Balance, Asics. I'm going to sit here and have these guys go to all these local high schools. You know what I'm saying? And then working with these programs and education things where it's just like, you know, one thing once a month, I'm about to have these kids come to this program. Let's talk about sneakers. Let's talk about kicks. Oh, yeah, y'all like kicks, but let's talk about it. Shit. If you wanted to design some, or even if you wanted to end up getting a career going this route, let me kind of talk to you guys how to do this, how to do that. Same shit with the university route. Like, who's interested in trying to end up getting to this route where it's just like, you know, we need more representation. They're not doing that. And that's just me just sitting here just ripping off the top of my head. Like, you literally can't sit here and do this as a company. You literally don't have nobody in your talent recruiting. You literally don't have nobody head of HR who can sit here and create something like this.
But it's, even if you do have it, it's you have to want it. You know what I'm saying?
It's a fact. Facts. But yeah, like Craig said, like a long time ago, or even other people, you don't know what you don't know. And guess what? When you have them programs, when you create these things, guess what? You're providing education. You're providing information. Now you're sharing knowledge.
Mm-hmm. But also, one of the things that me and X were talk about, I should tell him before, like, people are out of position. You're hiring people who do not fulfill the actual position. That makes no sense to be in position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you're a PM, right? Product marketer, right? You're giving me advice, or you know, you're trying to tell me what to do as far as design goes. You have zero experience in design. Not even that. You have zero experience into the culture, or what's going on, or who we're targeting. But yeah, you have this job.
Some people will be surprised that you're in your position.
Correct.
So they just feel like they need to be saying something to you to make themselves.
But in the whole design realm, corporate world, you'd be surprised. Mad people who are out of position.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Half the company's out of position. You should not be in this spot you were in, but you are in.
Yeah.
But then that's what trickles down. If you're top up, if you're top, it's fucked up. The bottom is going to be even worse.
Yeah.
And then your whole company is going
to
be
bullshit. At the end of the day, we're not sitting here trying to create this narrative. All it is like...
Talk about it.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's just more so like we just need to have more open conversations that actually include these people who are in the positions within these companies. Like, have more open meetings. Have more action opposed to sitting here talking. Like, stop talking about those things that people want to hear. Like, actually show a statement plan. Actually show action plans where these are the steps that we plan on, you know, creating diversity and inclusion, and how we're going to have representation in these leadership positions to where it's going to translate, you know.
And ultimately, it's beneficial.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, to that point, like, I think me and Craig both could look at it like we kind of like won the lottery. Like we're one of the very few people that even got the opportunity to get into those doors.
That's right.
And I think we both experienced in our like creative, I guess, career so far, it's kind of like you kind of reach this glass ceiling a bit where you're not able to excel based on your performance. Like, so for me, it's this thing where it's like you could get kids involved and stuff, and hopefully we could bring more entry-level jobs in, but we really need people that are going to empower these people to have positions of power within these companies.
Yep.
So like already it's not none of us represented here. So it's this thing now where everybody's kind of pushing this agenda where it becomes like a charity case thing almost, where it's like, okay, we're going to go work with these HBCUs and bring these kids in and bring them in for 2 weeks. But it's like, okay, then you hire them for very entry level roles and they don't have opportunity to grow within the company. It's still the same people there that are holding these positions down for 20 to 30 years. Absolutely. And they hire people that remind them of themselves that look like them.
Yes.
So like, we both look at it like, I believe Mick Edward got you into Reebok as well. Like, and Joseph Intump hired me as well for Classic. So it's like, without those two black dudes, I don't think I would be there. And we've generated so much money over time for Reebok in general, like millions and millions of dollars. I think our track record compared to other designers at either our levels below or higher than us, I think it's like, yo, we've definitely excelled. So it's like, why aren't we given the opportunity to move up within this company or have a bigger voice?
And that's one of the biggest fights. Becomes, yep.
But that's the problem. It's because someone is
another issue.
Go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I think bringing more diverse people into the fold is good, but I think we have to figure out a pipeline system to actually empower people.
Yeah.
But the guys who are in there, you know, they empower higher people that remind them of themselves. And I don't know if they're doing it purposely. It's just kind of like, it's no difference between us. Like, yo, like I hang out with Craig because we relate to one another. It's not just because he's a black dude. It's like we really genuinely have multiple. So it's like when you're interviewing this dude who from Boston, who reminds you of yourself, who grew up in the same area as you. You may know his grandfather or whatever. Your grandfathers played golf together. Of course, I'm going to give him the job to work this position.
It's all networking.
It's all networking. So I think, once if we do start even getting in the door, that's great. But it's like, how can we set up positions of, you know, director or VP level where we can actually bring people in? Because I know I probably wouldn't be at Reebok if it wasn't for Joseph M. Tump being there, giving me the opportunity, or Mick Edward LeGarrette seeing my portfolio and seeing something in it where I don't know if they would have understood that
those two weren't there. HR and directors, by the way.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're running a little bit over right now, X, but you know, one of the things I kind of wanted to end this on a high note is for my question is for you, you know, where you've been in your career. What is like one of the things left that you feel like you haven't conquered yet and what you're looking forward to in your career? Like whether it's working with a certain athlete or working on, you know, full creativity with something or just anything in general. Like what is the things that you're looking forward to?
Well, you know, for me, I'm not a swag guy. I'm a purist. So most of the time, when talking about collabs and stuff, I'm like, you can't tell me the Air Max 97 ain't better than the Sean Weatherspoon 97. Like, that's a great shoe. Like, they designed the original shoe. That's the
no, I agree. I agree. I agree.
I know, but that's... Yeah, so that's just the way I look at it.
To an extent.
No, man.
With that shoe, no, I wholeheartedly agree. But I do feel like there is some shoes that's been sampled that has been way better than the original. I will say that, but I like we don't got to go there. But at the end of the day, ain't shit. Bro, like I said, at the end of the day, ain't shit new.
Yeah.
Like, we all got to take some kind of foundational element, you know, end up trying to make it into our own, you know? Like, we got to look at it like this. Like, how many questions have you worked on?
A ton. I got a ton here right
Crazy,
now.
Crazy, huh? Crazy. Man. You worked on over 30 Iverson questions. Who created the actual foundation, like, the first designer who created the Iverson? The question.
My dog, Scott Hewitt.
Scott Hewitt, man. Mm-hmm. And, like, what we do is we end up taking that element, and we got to put our twist to it. Whether if you like it or not, probably marketing, you know, the PLN is making you end up doing it. You're like, man, I don't want to take his shoe and redesign it, but whatever. I'm going to go ahead and do it. But it's like, you know what's crazy? You've taken that, and you sat here and you made some dope shit from it. Craig's taken a lot of shoes and made some dope shit from it. Like, but you guys have also created some shit from scratch that's been crazy, too. So let's not get it twisted.
Right, but I going back to that conversation, I feel like that original impact of that original question in 96 when Iverson wore it on the court for the first time can never be duplicated. No matter what colorway I do, what collab I'm going to do. Same thing with Jordan 1. Like, when he validated that shoe, 1984, 85, it is what it is. So for me, if I could create that moment with an athlete in any field, that's kind of my last box to check off. Like, sure, I've worked with guys. I get dudes like Trez and you know, these guys, Lexi, Ty, wearing shoes, which is really great. But if I could design a shoe from scratch, that'll be a new performance shoe that sparks that next, you know, 8-year-old who goes in the Foot Locker and picks it up and plays in it and loves it. That's kind of what the last thing I have to kind of check off my career box for
that's
me.
A good one. That's a good one.
Love, that's love, man. We appreciate you, brother, and thank you for hopping on, and you know, hopping on the podcast and able to tell your story. You know, it's been a pleasure, man. And this ain't gonna be the last time, neither. You're
absolutely
gonna be back.
No, for sure.
Absolutely.
Love you, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
You got no choice.
Absolutely.
Right.
No, all right, man. Here. It's love, man. Appreciate you, X.
Thank you, bro.
Appreciate you guys too. Good hearing y'all.
All right, man.
Man.
Where can the followers find you, man? Like, what's your Instagram handle? Where are you at? Like, what's up?
I don't really do all that like that. Xavier Jones _XCI on Instagram.
But, get back to the stage, bro.
Hey, look up his work though. Look at his sneakers. And
my man is in Vietnam right now, man. It's like 9 a.m. out there, 9:15 to be exact. But appreciate you, X, man, and I wish you all the success, my dog.
Thank you.
All right, man. Sammy, appreciate you guys too.
Yeah,
bro.
Love.
Love.